Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, and joining me, as always, is Jordan. Today, we're diving into Merck's first quarter 2026 results, and wow, there's a lot to unpack here.
That's right, Alex. And before we jump in, I need to share our standard disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Jordan. Now let's talk about the headline numbers. Merck reported revenue of $16.3 billion for first quarter, which represents 5% growth year over year, or 3% excluding foreign exchange impacts. But here's the kicker. They actually posted a loss of $1.28 per share.
Right. And that loss is entirely due to a massive one-time charge. Merck took a $9 billion hit related to their acquisition of Cidara Therapeutics. Without that charge, they would have been profitable. In fact, they raised their full-year guidance, which tells you management feels pretty good about the underlying business.
Exactly. They bumped up their revenue guidance to between $65.8 billion and $67 billion for the full year, and raised their EPS guidance to $5.04 to $5.16. But Jordan, let's talk about what's really driving this growth, because it's not just Keytruda anymore.
That's the big story here, Alex. Yes, Keytruda sales were still strong at $8 billion, up 8%, but what caught my attention was how diversified their growth drivers are becoming. Winrevair, their pulmonary arterial hypertension drug, hit $525 million in sales. That's a relatively new product showing real traction.
And then there's Welireg, their oral HIF-2 alpha inhibitor, which saw 43% growth to $199 million. Management highlighted they have over 20 new products launching with what they called blockbuster potential. CEO Rob Davis mentioned a potential commercial opportunity of over $70 billion by the mid-2030s from these new growth drivers alone.
Those are big numbers, Alex. But let's talk about some challenges, too. Gardasil sales dropped 22% to $1.1 billion, mainly due to lower demand in China and Japan. And their new RSV prevention drug, Inflansia, had minimal sales in first quarter, though that was expected due to seasonality.
True, but management seemed confident about the RSV product ramping up in the second half of the year. What really stood out to me from the call was their focus on AI and partnerships. They announced a multi-year deal with Google Cloud for AI capabilities, plus expanded collaborations with Tempus AI and the Mayo Clinic.
That's a smart move, especially in drug development, where AI could potentially accelerate research timelines. Speaking of their pipeline, they had some interesting updates. The FDA approved their HIV drug IDVYNSO, and they're expecting several priority reviews in the coming months for cancer treatments.
The pipeline discussion was fascinating. Dr. Dean Lee, their research chief, mentioned they have 17 phase 3 studies ongoing for their antibody drug conjugate sac-TMT, with 13 of those in first mover indications. That could be huge if those trials are successful.
And let's not forget the Terns pharmaceutical acquisition they're working on. They're paying about $5.8 billion for Terns 701, a chronic myeloid leukemia drug candidate. Management thinks it has multi-billion dollar commercial potential.
During the Q&A, analysts were clearly focused on the pipeline readouts coming this year. There was a lot of discussion about their ophthalmology programs and cancer combination therapies. One thing that struck me was how confident management sounded about their diversification strategy.
Absolutely. CFO Caroline Litchfield mentioned they're making investments to reach more patients and physicians, which should accelerate growth in the second half. They're also restructuring their commercial organization into business units to improve focus and execution.
What's your take on the guidance raise, Jordan? They increased both revenue and EPS targets despite some headwinds.
It shows confidence in their execution. Yes, they'll face some timing headwinds with Keytruda purchases in third quarter, and foreign exchange is providing some benefit, but the underlying business momentum seems strong. The fact that they're investing heavily in launches while still raising guidance suggests they see real opportunity.
One thing investors should watch is their capital allocation. They're maintaining their dividend commitment, planning about $3 billion in share repurchases this year, and clearly staying active on the M&A front. Management emphasized they can handle deals in the $1 billion to $15 billion range, with capacity to go higher for the right opportunity.
That's important context. They're not just relying on internal R&D, they're actively building their pipeline through acquisitions. The Sidara and Terns deals show they're willing to pay up for promising assets.
Looking ahead, there are several key catalysts investors should mark on their calendars. They're hosting an oncology investor event at ASCO in June, and they have multiple FDA decision dates coming up. Welireg combinations in June and October, plus potential approvals for Keytruda combinations.
And don't forget the Winrevair label update decision in September. If approved for additional indications, that could be another significant growth driver given the unmet medical need they're addressing.
So, what's the bottom line for investors? Merck is clearly in transition from being primarily a Keytruda company to having multiple blockbuster-level growth drivers. The question is execution. Can they successfully launch and commercialize all these new products?
That's the key question. The pipeline looks robust. They have the financial resources to invest, and they're making strategic organizational changes to improve execution. But biotech is risky. Not every phase 3 trial succeeds, and competition in oncology is fierce.
Fair point. The diversification story is compelling, but investors need to watch those clinical trial readouts closely. Success there could drive significant upside, while failures could hurt the growth narrative.
Before we wrap up, I need to share our closing disclaimer. Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. Merck's transformation story is one to watch as we head into what could be a pivotal year for their pipeline. We'll be back with more AI-powered earnings analysis soon. Until then, happy investing.
See you next time.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.